はい、roll call。 Ms. Anderson。 Mr. Dennett。 Ms. Amons。 Mr. Jones。 Mr. Langenheim。 Ms. Anson。 Mr. Kurtz。 Mr. Mosier。 Mr. Schrader。 Ms. Anson。 Ms. Wysocki。
Here。 Okay, I need a motion to approve our agenda for this evening. Motion by Mr. Kurtz, seconded by Ms. Anderson. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Need a motion to approve the minutes of June 8th, 2009. Motion by Mr. Jones, seconded by Ms. Anderson. Is there any discussion?
There is an error on page 15. Line 4. That's an incorrect website. I'm going to try to go through it. The correct website is RWST as in Paul, C, not B as in boy. That needs to be corrected.
Noted. Anyone else? All those in favor of the minutes as amended, signify by saying aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Correspondence?
None.
We have no correspondence tonight. The only thing that the chair would share is that last Thursday, Mr. Kurtz and I attended a workshop sponsored by the U of I Extension Service up in LaSalle County, which had to do with agricultural land use planning, tools planning and preservation, and a transitioning economy. This was an interesting conference. No session lasted more than an hour, which was, you know, bang, 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 down the road we went. And they talked about a lot of planning elements that are going on, mostly around the state of Illinois, but even on a broader level than that. And we're trying to educate all of us there about what trends are going on, especially in the area of developing land trusts, farmland protection commissions, particularly, well, apparently the Chicago area seems to have a number of these in existence, and some of the related issues in terms of how this affects agriculture policies, how this whole business about balancing, I guess, pure agricultural interests with other interests other than turning the land into residential settlements. It was an intense day, and I think it was worth the trip up there. Do you want to add anything?
Only that I was very impressed with how they were going about planning to save farmland in the state. The easements for developmental rights, where counties were purchasing these developmental rights from farmers in perpetuity to keep the land safe from any type of residential growth, is something that we hadn't thought about, at least I hadn't, and I thought it was a good idea to discuss it. The key is, of course, you need to have money for that, which at this point we don't, but it can't hurt to plan for something like that. And I think Chair Wysocki questioned one of the speakers about those commissions that were put together, and we would all, I think it was a very informative, educational process.
Okay. Anyone here to speak in public participation? Okay. Mr. Hall, you want to give us some legislative updates?
Tomorrow is the last day for the governor to veto House Bill 466, which is the bill that the county and municipalities had joined together to request. So if he doesn't veto it tomorrow, it goes into law. And if he does veto it tomorrow, it can go back for the veto session. The same is true for Representative Poe's bill. I think that's 1006. So the problem may be fixed for the entire state tomorrow. So I'll report back next month and send an email around as soon as I know.
Do you also want to share the other legislative issue?
Well, at the last meeting, Chair Weibel had asked some questions about a bill that was up for approval that will make all commercial buildings, as of 2011, make all commercial buildings have to be built according to a code. That was passed. And so on January 1, 2011, every new building constructed anywhere in the state will have to be constructed according to a code, whether it's a single-family home or an industrial complex. There's no one enforcing that, but it is a requirement.
Right.
And I should say that that law regarding commercial structures explicitly exempts agriculture. And it's not clear to me what the Residential Building Code Act, I don't think that it exempts agriculture, but it's also not enforced, so who knows.
Okay. Next item. This is a request to adopt the Champaign County Multi-Jurisdictional Natural Hazard Mitigation Plan. You all had copies of this distributed back at the June meeting. Susan is going to give us sort of the executive summary version tonight, and hopefully we will be in a position to approve this and pass it along to the county board for next week's meeting.
Good evening. Not all of you may have a copy of the hazard mitigation plan. Those of you who attended the work, public participation open meeting in June may have received one, but others may not have. You all know where it's located online. And if you'd like a hard copy, paper copy of that, we can make arrangements for that to happen. So tonight, we're asking that you make a recommendation to the county board to adopt the Champaign County Multi-Jurisdictional Natural Hazard Mitigation Plan. The preparation has occurred over the past year and a half. You've heard updates about that. And FEMA has reviewed the final draft and made certain requests which were met for additional information. And subsequently, FEMA has indicated that the plan meets all their requirements. The only remaining thing that needs to happen is that each participating jurisdiction needs to adopt the plan. The purpose of adopting the plan would be to make the county and each participating jurisdiction eligible for various grants available through FEMA, funding that would allow for long-term solutions to prepare and achieve several of the mitigation actions proposed via funding through the FEMA Hazard Mitigation Grant Program or FEMA's Pre-Disaster Mitigation Program Fund. You've received in your packet an executive summary of the plan, describing the scope of the plan, the process, the fact that 27 jurisdictions participated, including the unincorporated Champaign County areas, all municipalities in the county or partially within the county, and the University of Illinois and Parkland College. The public had opportunities to participate throughout the development of the plan. A survey was distributed last December with regard to preferred mitigation actions to the public or made available to the public to take. The plan identified hazards, natural hazards in the county, profiled each hazard, past occurrences of each hazard. The six hazards, as you know, are severe storms, severe winter storms, floods, extreme heat, drought, and earthquakes. Various ranking exercises were completed. In Champaign County, severe storms and severe winter storms are considered, according to this plan, as the most prevalent of the hazards experienced. Flooding is a close third, followed by extreme heat, drought, and then earthquake being the least seriously ranked hazard. Four goals were identified in the plan. The first was to minimize avoidable deaths and injuries due to natural hazards. The second, protect existing and new infrastructures from the impacts of natural hazards. Third, include natural hazard mitigation in local government plans and regulations. And four, coordinate natural hazard mitigation efforts of participating jurisdictions. Each of the participating jurisdictions came up with a prioritized listing of preferred mitigation actions, ranking them by priority, as I mentioned. Champaign County developed a list of 12. And since those were not included in the executive summary, if you'd like, I could distribute those 12 mitigation actions that were part of this plan at this time, or you can ask for them after the meeting. The top two ranked the highest priority were to educate the public and disseminate information regarding all hazards to populations through town hall meetings, presentations to groups, and displays. The responsible party would be the Department of Public Health and the Champaign County Emergency Management Agency. The funding source would be federal, state, local, or grant. And it would be suggested, it actually is ongoing, a mitigation action that is ongoing, so that is proposed to continue. The second highest priority mitigation action proposed for Champaign County was to offer and promote the use of an area-wide warning text message system, such as AlertSense. The responsible party, again, would be the Champaign County Emergency Management Agency and the Champaign Department of Public Health. The funding source would be local, and the time frame would be within 6 months of FEMA's approval of this plan. Those two departments are actually arranging for this to occur at this time. The other 10 mitigation actions are listed on this list, which I can make available to you after the meeting or now if you wish. So that is an overview of this plan. Each of the participating jurisdictions had their own list of mitigation actions, and they prioritized their own list and will be responsible for adopting, their governing body adopting or trying to request that it be adopted. Since there were so many participating jurisdictions, the Champaign County Regional Planning Commission project staff was able to get the 19 smaller municipalities to agree to have us, the Champaign County Regional Planning Commission project staff, represent them during the planning process. And they are now receiving the information that you are receiving and going forward to their town councils to request that the plan be adopted there as well. Would you like any additional information at this time, or do you have any questions? Yes.
Mr. Schrader.
Thank you. Is it up to the individual municipalities. I'm referring mostly to the villages out beyond Champaign, Urbana, and Savoy, because they have quite extensive plans, and that tie into their first responders and such. But getting back to my question, the smaller villages, do they understand the village councils understand the plan and who's in charge and the whole scope of things? There's understanding there and an organizational chart that's clear.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they back about a year ago, actually more than a year, in January, beginning last January of 2008. I communicated with the village presidents of each of these smaller villages. In some cases, visited their council meetings to describe the benefits of participating in this plan. Each of the participating jurisdictions, the smaller villages, the 19 smaller jurisdictions, signed, had their council authorize a resolution agreeing to participate in the plan and expecting at the end of the process, which is now, to be provided with the plan and to go forward to their council to request that it be adopted. At various points throughout this process, I've been in touch with village presidents, village clerks, village representatives.
And in the unincorporated areas, mm-hmm. that they have no village government, have no government except township government, are those people aware that there is a structure out there for hazard, for this exact natural hazards out there, that there is a plan?
Well, you're referring then to the chair of our planning team, Bill Keller.
Right.
Yes, he certainly is aware.
Of course, he's yes. aware of that, but okay.
The response plan is a separate, it's like a part of this. This is a wider scope. It includes other things other than emergency response. It includes public dissemination of information. It includes emergency services, which is what the response plan is. There's five categories of mitigation actions that this plan includes, whereby emergency response is one category.
Right. I guess my question isn't very clear, and I apologize mm-hmm. for that. I guess what I want to say is, for instance, you have like Penfield, you have Seymour, they're unincorporated, but they do have first responders. They have a volunteer fire department out there and such. Are they aware of this mitigation plan?
Bill Keller is the primary contact for the unincorporated areas of Champaign County, and he was responsible for coordinating and making sure there were no conflicts with any of the first responder activities, and there aren't. This, as I mentioned, sort of complements that effort and adds four other dimensions to preparing to mitigate for these natural disasters. As to whether there were no specific contacts made to the fire protection emergency districts per se, information was collected about them, though.
Okay, good. And just one more real quick question mm-hmm. I had is on the chart. I may beg to differ, but on the ranking of hazards based on vulnerability of assessment,
mm-hmm.
Look over the column that says property and crop damage, and go down to drought, and it's moderate risk. I suppose a few of us actually far might beg to differ some of the drought out there. To us, it's more like major sometimes. But I'm curious where the word moderate or that designation moderate came from instead of going up to a higher like major.
This table was based on the Illinois Natural Hazard Mitigation Plan. The data from this table is consistent with the state data. You're right about drought. It can be totally devastating when it does happen. And it's impossible to predict exactly. So it's just one of those terrible natural hazards.
I was just curious where the...
Yeah, Illinois has a state plan, and this needed to conform to that plan, and that's where that rating came from.
Thank you.
Other questions, comments? Mr. Kurtz.
Thank you. I'd like to compliment you on this report. I went through this report. It's quite extensive, and the effort to put together this program with 27 jurisdictions is pretty broad and extensive. And I particularly like the vulnerability assessment of each area that gives you where we need to look. So I think this is one heck of a report, and I would certainly approve it.
Ms. Anderson.
I would echo what Mr. Kurt said, but I guess I'm wondering if we approve, and then you say you're going back to those jurisdictions, if they don't do a formal approval, what happens then? I mean, does that affect the whole plan?
It affects, let's say a smaller jurisdiction for one reason or another chooses not to adopt this, which I see as not happening, but it could happen. That jurisdiction alone would not be eligible to apply for these funding programs. We would still be eligible. We would have an adopted plan approved by FEMA.
Have any units of government already approved this?
City of Urbana Plan Commission recommended their council to approve it about a week ago, and Champaign is in the process. City of Champaign. Some of the others are just now getting their requests together to their councils. It should take 1 to 2 months.
Anything else? If not, the chair would entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Motion by Mr. Schrader with a second by Mr. Kurtz. The only thing I would add before we do vote on this is that I did receive an email this afternoon from Mr. Keller, who was very impressed with the work that you, Susan, had done on this project, and not only the process of it all, but the product itself. And he certainly felt he apologized for not being able to be here tonight, but he did say that he thought this was a very good document, that it ought to put Champaign County and all of these smaller units of government in a good position to move forward in regarding a plan, the eligibility that we all would have for FEMA funds if and when that ever became necessary. So he was very impressed with the work. Any other discussion? If not, all those in favor of this resolution to adopt the Champaign County Multi-Jurisdictional Natural Hazard Mitigation Plan signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Susan. Susan, number two. You've all received a memo from Susan Cheveria regarding the goals, objectives, and policies of the Land Resource Management Plan.
If anybody forgot it, I have extra copies.
Myself coming at the last minute, so to speak.
Sorry.
Are you going to?
Yeah, should I start?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Mr. Schrader?
While this is getting set up, we are doing an overview tonight, and I'm not sure how you want to go about this, Madam Chair. You want more input on this, or?
I was just going to explain that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What we're going to do at this time is, first of all, consider the goals, objectives, and policies as an overview, and then get an overview of the future land use plan, and then systematically go goal by goal, noting any concerns that you may have. So first we're going to give an overview of stage two, the goals, objectives, and policies, stage three, the future land use plan and its associated documents. And then we're going to go through the entire set of goals, objectives, and policies systematically at a slower pace so that you have the opportunity to comment. Is that on all right?
That sounds like a plan to me.
As you have this document in front of you, of the stage two and three report, I just want you to, as I've just indicated, we will be starting with an overview of the stage two goals, objectives, and policies. Stage two was comprised of several steps over the past year and a half or so, including an initial review of policy documents, analysis of issues and options, meetings with town, SHIP and municipal representatives, developing and a public workshop, holding a public workshop, and drafting the policy statements, which occurred. The drafting of those policy statements occurred over more than 20 meetings of the steering committee over the past year and a half, essentially. Here's a shot of the public workshop. It included a survey, completion of a survey about policy preferences for land use and management in the county, mapping exercises. The result of stage two is a single document comprised of 9 goals, 39 objectives, and 96 policies. As you've read this memorandum, you see that in comparison to our 3 existing sets of goals, objectives, and policies, it's a comparable number overall. And the subject area of the goals, which is listed here, is not that different than the topical area of the previous, or actually the existing set of land use goals for the county. Just as a reminder, as we go through this material, objectives are like sub-goals. They are measurable events or tasks that help to achieve a goal. Policies are repetitive types of events or actions that provide clear direction to decision makers. So policies can be repeated and are expected to be occurring over and over again. Objectives, view those as sub-goals. As we develop this set of goals, objectives, and policies, they will be used to help, well, they were used to help create the future land use map. They will serve as a guide for identifying implementation actions. That's the stage where we are now at with the steering committee. And they will, of course, serve as a guide for the county decision makers in rezoning cases or whenever a land use decision is necessary to be made. One thing to keep in mind also as we review, especially the urban set of goal objectives and policies, is that the ETJ exists and specific policies will relate to those cities that have adopted a comprehensive land use plan. So 12 municipalities in the county have done that, and that is a shared planning jurisdiction with Champaign County. The other municipalities, primarily smaller villages that are incorporated, that have no adopted comprehensive land use plan, there are fewer shared planning issues that occur with those smaller municipalities. And these are some photographs that I just like, as I can talk over them and choose not to. This one is intended to demonstrate or display that we have a new concern that we didn't have in the 70s, and that is alternative energy. So that is addressed by our goal 8, I believe. So here we are, midpoint through this LRMP development process. That is an overview of the goals, objectives, and policies. And what I could do at this time is highlight some changes or policies that we expect to be controversial, but I'd rather do that in a systematic way once we get through those to that point. So at this time, I would like to ask Andrew Levy to give you an overview of the Stage 3 future land use map. After his interview overview, then we will systematically go through the 9 goals with their associated objectives and policies, and I will point out new ones that are different from anything previously considered by the county, and, of course, reiterate some of those that or you've already considered, some of the more controversial ones, but certainly point out other controversial ones that you haven't already been made aware of. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks. My name is Andrew Levy. I've worked for the Regional Planning Commission for about 4 years now, and 2 of those years as a planner, the 2 previous years in the GIS department. So I'm just here to tell you a little bit about the future land use map. It ends up being 2 of them. One is a land use management area map. That relates specifically to policy. You have some materials in there that have policy. You received a packet with a blue RPC logo on it, and in there is some text about these maps. The land use management area map is directly related to policy. You'll see in that text that the policy numbers attached to the names of these management areas, and so that gives you an idea. These policies were written with the spatial context in mind, so we wanted to kind of show you exactly what that meant on a map. So you can figure out where we're talking about these policies and where they might apply. The rough lines, they're not exactly where we think they're going to be. We want you to think of them as approximate boundaries. These maps are not regulatory. We're not saying that this has to happen here. That's for further discussion when a development comes in. You're going to address that individually. But these are rough lines to give you an approximate location where we would like these policies to occur. Special areas of note on that map is a cougar. These are contiguous urban growth areas. These are the areas that kind of show up in peach, I believe, on your map, right next to the municipal boundaries. These areas have very specific policies, and there's a lot of issues between municipalities and the county and how that management area plays out. So we wanted to specifically define that area. The areas that have a hashing next to that, we're calling it a municipal ETJ, which is their mile and a half without sanitary sewer. These areas are also critically important to developing how we're managing this area for development. We're gonna come up with some implementation tasks later to help define what actually happens in these areas. But that's what we want you to note on that map. The future land use map is part of the Local Land Resource Management Planning Act, the state legislation. So we're following that. It's a part of this process, and it's not a prediction. It's not exactly what is going to happen in the future. The way to think about it is this is what we would like to see. This is what the community says, or what you as elected officials say, we would like to see this in the future. How that actually plays out, whether it's actually in by 2030, it probably won't look like that. But it might. We're working towards that direction. So that's what that map is looking at. It's split up into 4 basic categories. Largely, it's farmland. We're calling it primarily farmland. Now, we split that into different categories. For example, best prime and non-best prime farmland. You know, that's a critical component of our structure here in the county, so we wanted to make that distinction. Primarily farmland woodland, which is a little bit different, but we actually have a policy written that defines how we want to see development occur or potential development occur in that sort of an area. Primarily farmland in a riparian area. These are they're all farmland. We're all thinking them of as farmland, but they have specific components within them. Rural residential. We have lots of residential areas. Some of it's going to be infill. We've designated those areas, and then we have projections. These are the little yellow bubbles that show up on the map. And they're, we didn't define locations. We're not saying residential development occurs here. We're just saying this is about how many residences we think are going to come in the next 20 years. Commercial industrial, there's one area to note down by Pisotum. That is not on the zoning map. It's a newcomer to where we're thinking of commercial industrial, so I wanted to point that out to you. And then we also have two categories for natural resources, primarily conservation and parks and reserves. Now, these are already established areas. Parks and preserves are the forest preserves. And then primarily conservation are conservation areas that have been put into primarily state programs. So that's the end of this part. If you have any questions, feel free to email me, call me. I'm more than happy to answer them. But I'll turn it back over to Susan.
One question.
Yeah,
the map. I don't see the municipal boundary agreements seem to be overwritten by the extraterritorial jurisdictions.
Sort of point. I can't point that out. I can't see them anywhere, so that's my assumption.
They're there. I'm looking.
You should probably hand out magnifying glasses with these. Right?
Yeah, they're much smaller. I can provide you all with larger. We were using 28 by 40 scale maps, so we can provide you with those if you want to get into detail, and I'm more than happy to do that. The ETJs do show up. The Mahomet Champagne one, you can kind of see where it says the US 150 study. Just south of that, there's a line running along.
Oh, it goes north-south?
Yeah, there's one north-south.
Okay, all right. Okay,
and
right.
Then up right where it says Hensley, that's another one.
Okay, all right.
But yeah, not all of them show up.
Okay, I see it now. They're just subtle.
Yep.
Motion.
Yeah, my house cut in two between Urbana and St. Joe on this thing.
Uh-oh.
I mean, how was that line drawn?
The between... The what looks like a pink line between St. Joe and
yes.
Are you looking at the future land use map?
I'm looking at attachment A. Yes.
Future land use map. So the dotted lines. There's a solid line that looks kind of pink. That's the 1.5 mile boundary. The dotted line that's splitting Mayfair right there. Mayfair is in between them. That's the what we're thinking is going to be the ETJ in 2030.
I've been alive here for 66 years, and I haven't seen the banner grow more than 4 sections.
I believe you.
We're going to get out.
I believe you. So they have plans to extend out to 1800, out to Cottonwood. These are long-term plans, and that's what when we went to them with these ideas, we asked them, what are your long-term plans for growth? And we wanted to try and establish that. This is not saying that's where the line is going to be. We're saying between the 1.5 mile right now and that, it'll probably exist in 2030.
Looks like they got your house cut up where your bedroom's in, or St. Joe, and your bathroom's in Urbana.
Isn't that better for taxes for everybody? You pay double.
Okay. We will again be considering this information for the county board at a study session in September. at that time we can have large panels of these two maps available for review and display. So back to our consideration of the goals, objectives, and policies. And starting with goal one, planning and public involvement. This goal has now four objectives and four policies. This goal specifies broad public involvement as a necessary component. That's a new feature, not present in 1977 land use goals for the county. Public participation had not previously been mentioned as a need in any of our previous earlier county goals. And these objectives under this goal, they're highlighted here. Principally establish the LRMP as the planning guide, document to guide decisions. As Andrew mentioned, this is not a regulatory document. It's intended to serve as a guide to county decision makers with regard to land use issues. So the objectives indicate that there would be an annual update provided to county board members and that a comprehensive review would happen on it approximately every 10 to 12 to 13 or 15 years or so to take advantage of the decennial census information that comes around every 10 years. We don't foresee any controversial issues associated with this goal one. And here before you with the four objectives and the three policies, four policies, simply reiterate information found in previously adopted county resolutions about the LRMP and the steering committee that would be used to guide its comprehensive review in the future. Does anyone have concerns or issues not previously raised about goal one at this time? Barb, do you want to recognize people when they raise their hand? Jonathan raised
his hand. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see it.
I don't.
Go ahead.
Thanks. On goal one, objective 1-4 that you have right up here, the update, regular interval for updates, I was under the assumption that we're going to sell this thing into a comprehensive land use plan. I assume that's still, really the key objective. I know you probably would make sense to have this in here just in case we didn't get that far, but I assume that's the logic behind this, just for clarification.
I'm not understanding your question. The intent
to update the land, because if you have a comprehensive land use plan, why do you need a land resource management plan then?
No, it's an update of the LRMP.
Yeah, I know. Every 10, no less than 10 years to 15 years.
Right.
But my point is the goal is to, this is one step into a comprehensive land use plan. If you have a comprehensive land use plan, you don't need to update because you won't need a land resource management plan because you'll have a comprehensive
I can respond with one answer, and that is having just recently drafted the implementation part of this plan. That is a detailed list of specific actions that will be used to actually achieve the policies listed here, achieve the objectives. That list of actions, a lot of those actions will be done in 5 years, for instance. That itself, that part of the plan probably would need the most updating, the actions to implement the plan. That's an ongoing thing. Plus, what else would change? Significantly, I'm not sure. I know that in 30 years since 1977, a lot of stuff changed as far as new concerns about alternative energy. Not a lot of things, but significant things like that, and CO2 emissions, for instance, that weren't even on the radar back in 70. So I'm not sure that there would be major changes, but certainly the implementation part of this plan would need to be updated. comprehensively.
Mr. Hall.
John, yeah, we haven't lost sight of that end goal. And maybe it would be worth having something in these objectives about, you know, if there ever is a full comprehensive plan that would take the place of the LRMP, then that would be fine. It's not clear to me that the county would decide just to simply go with a comprehensive plan for everybody. I frankly think you'd want to see, first of all, when and if that ever happens, and second of all, when it does happen, I think you'd want to make sure that you don't need the LRMP as a backup, because you might always want to have your own plan, seems to me. And I don't know that we could rule that out, should rule it out right now.
No other concerns, I'll move on to the next goal. Goal 2, governmental coordination. This has 2 objectives and 3 policies. The objectives are to coordinate efforts with county jurisdictions in the larger region. That's not too different than the existing 1977 goal, a similar goal, or a similar context of goals from back then. What is a little different is this objective 2.2, which specifically mentions that the county will work cooperatively with units of government to ensure that the GIS consortium and regional planning commission have the resources to effectively discharge their responsibilities to develop, maintain, and share commonly used land resource management data between local jurisdiction and county agencies that will help support land use decisions. So that is a new focus. There was no previous mention in the 77 land use goals for the county that mentioned sharing of information or maintenance of information. Any questions about this goal and its objectives and policies? The policies under this objective 2.1 tie in with providing the county board with an annual update, since we expect that every year municipal boundaries will need to be adjusted on our maps. So that's going to be maintained, and that will be part of the annual report. And that will change on the land use management area map, the area that we call the contiguous urban growth areas. That will change yearly, we expect. Barb?
Oh, Jonathan?
Let's see, it would be 2.1.3. The county will encourage municipal adoption of plan and ordinance elements which reflect mutual consistent county approach, county municipality approach to protection of best prime farmland and other natural, historic, and cultural resources. Now, the word protection is a pretty strong term, and that means that there's going to have to be some form of enforcement. So when I look at prime farmland, I understand that natural, historic, and cultural resources. Is there somewhere that's defined?
I would like to encourage you, that's not the word to use here, but back up the first verb in that policy is encourage, which does not require any enforcement. Does that answer your question, your concern about?
Well, I understand. Mm-hmm. I understand that, but encourage, yeah, the approach to the protection of, but I'm looking for that's one issue, thank you. But I'm looking for definition of natural, historic, and cultural resources within the county. Is there anything that the committee came up with a definition?
No, that's
or
just
background?
Well, it's just similar topics that were considered in the 1977 set of land use goals and policies. Often they reference natural, historic, or cultural resources. The Land Use Management Planning Act encourages that the plan, the LRMP, consider those topics as well. But the steering committee has not, or the staff has not specifically defined those terms, and they're used in their general sense here in this policy. So don't expect a lot of controversy. We don't, and don't foresee a lot of controversy with this goal two. Now we get to goal three. Goal three is the agricultural goal with its set of 10 objectives and 21 policies. And we can go through that. The goal, as it states, is to protect the long-term viability of ag in Champaign County and its land resource base. The first objective addresses fragmentation of the county's land agricultural land base and conservation of farmland, generally applying more stringent development standards on best prime farmland. I'll just make a note about these objectives here under this goal. A lot of them will look a lot like the 2001 and 2005 land resource, the land use regulatory policies that are adopted by the county at present. So a lot of this material has been picked up, examined for consistency, and placed in under this goal. So a lot of this will look very familiar. So that is one objective that should look familiar. That concern has been addressed in both the 2001 and 2005 LRPs. Nothing real new or unusual about that goal. I mean, it's been more or less in practice adopted since 2001. Highest and best use of land is commercial ag. The county will guarantee all landowners the by-right development allowance to establish a non-ag use. That's nothing new. That's already in our zoning ordinance. Policy 3.1.3, the by-right development allowance, that's also lifted from the LRPs. 3.1.4, guaranteeing landowners of a good zoning lot that they can develop by-right development allowance, provided that current public health, safety, and transportation standards are met. That is a new additional clause that the steering committee and the zoning administrator felt was very important. So that is a new additional focus, but the focus of that entire policy is not new. Policy 3.1.5. Now, this could be, and you are already aware that this is a controversial policy, the 1 per 40. So we talked about that back in May and June here at ELUC and discussed it back then. So that policy 3.1.5 is a part of the proposed policy set at this time. Also, policy 3.1.6, that the county on best prime farmland will only authorize by-right residential development and not discretionary residential development on best prime farmland. So that, we expect, is controversial. And as you have also discussed last June, identifying that as a controversial policy. 3.1.7 is nothing that is new. We do that already in our zoning ordinance. We have a maximum lot size for new lots established as by-right development on best prime farmland. That's already in our zoning ordinance. 3.1.8, consider LISA ratings for discretionary development. Do that already, I believe. Yes, we do. Objective 3.2, Champaign County will require that each discretionary review development will not interfere with ag operations. Nothing new there. Oh, we have a question.
3.2 and then 3.10. I sat down with John and went over some of these policies. 3.10 and 3.2 would interfere with wind farms. 3.10, Champaign County will preserve the county's ag and natural landscape character, and 3.2, Champaign County will require that each discretionary review development will not interfere with ag operations. John and I sat down. We thought we might either add to that or eliminate it.
Are you talking about 3.1.10?
3.1.
Or
yeah.
It's the last objective.
3.10.
Okay. That last objective, then, let me get to it. I'm sorry here. There it is. Champaign County will preserve the county's ag and natural landscape character.
Yeah, there's no if, and, or buts on that. And as John and I discussed, he thought that wind farms, and so did I, might be come up against this policy and be a problem. So we might need to maybe put an exception or something in there so that we don't have this, there's no room to maneuver at all. John?
Mr. Weigel? Hold on. Mr. Weigel?
Well, I mean, you could argue that about, fence poles, too, I suppose. I mean, they're sticking, you know, windmills are, they're out there amidst the natural landscape in the ag areas, and so are, you know, telephone poles, electrical poles. They already exist. So I see it's sort of a variation of that. Well, I agree with that.
Ms. Anderson.
Going along with what Mr. Weigel is saying, I understand what you're saying, but it's not changing. It's still being used for agricultural around it. It's not changing it to some other use, right?
Mr. Langenheim. Use your microphone, please.
Just a matter of general principle, all of these arbitrary and inflexible statements must be capable of being overridden, if necessary, in an orderly manner. And does this document provide for that?
Well, first to your question, Ralph. I'm not aware of that many contradictions between the goals or even the policies in this document. I've tried to identify them, and I don't see any clear contradictions. Sometimes it's not unheard of to have goals that are in contradiction with each other, but I'm not aware of any here that are. Regarding Mr. Kircher's question to me, knowing that he was very concerned about anything in this document that could be construed negatively towards wind farm, I think a fair reading of Objective 3.10, there are a lot of people in this county I know. In fact, I know their names. They would say that Objective 3.10 means that we don't have to worry about wind farms being approved in the Ag 1 district because they absolutely change the ag and the natural landscape character.
Mr. Weibel?
But, you know, these are also could be considered temporary. I mean, there are plans for them to be, you know, take down and the land be restored back to what it was.
You can choose to hide under that.
Mr. Langenheim?
All I'm saying is that a document of this sort has to have an escape clause in it. In other words, supermajorities, whatever, you're going to eventually run into a situation, I can't predict what it'll be, where you will overwhelmingly feel a need for it, may be overwhelmingly necessary to contravene, say, the five, subdividing a 5-acre lot.
You may find that you disagree with some part of this plan in the future, and you can absolutely take actions at that time
to
change
it.
It's called updating the plan.
Okay. Ms. Chevarria, you want to move to a microphone, please?
I just wanted to add to John's statement. I'm not saying I'm speaking for him, but the plan is a guide. It's not regulatory. And so it is inherent in itself that it is not. It is a loophole in itself because you don't have to follow it to the letter. It is merely a guide.
Mr. Kurtz.
I understand what you're saying, Sue, but I think there will be some people that will contest that when they see this policy, and I think we need to at least soften it, if you want to call that, so that we could add some wording to it so that there wouldn't be that, you know, brick wall in front of us. And I know that John and I were working on some additional language for just to just put it into that 1.3.10.
Mr. Weibel?
I mean, there are people who would argue, and I'm not advocating this, they would say that, you know, there are no natural landscapes in or there are very few areas of natural landscape in Champaign-Urbana, because agriculture has affected it. And so you can have that argument, too. You have all sorts of arguments like that. So, the question is, are we going to, try to soften it for every possible situation? I think, that's a pretty general statement right there already, I think.
Mr. Kurtz?
I feel that by looking through most of these policies, they aren't as strict as this one is. And I certainly think that it wouldn't be a problem to add a sentence to it that would eliminate my concerns and perhaps others. I don't see that as a problem.
Ms. Anderson,
can you tell us what wording you're thinking of?
We're just reviewing it now. When John and I had sat down, this was about a month ago, and I hadn't had a chance to get back to him, but we had some preliminary wording. It was a sentence or two, but I can certainly bring it when I sit down with John again and bring it the next time when we overlook. This is just a review right now. Looking at this, obviously, again next month. And I can bring that language to you, and I'm sure everyone will find it acceptable.
I guess I was wondering, is it going to say specifically something about windmills?
No.
More general.
Jan, the only thing, I've come up with something very general that I'm not even very happy with. Frankly, I think this, Mr. Kurtz, I think this is a pretty tough thing to amend this. I have to say, I've thought about what we talked about that day, and I don't think it's a real good solution. But I'd be happy to talk to you about it some more.
Mr. Weibel?
I point out they're talking about landscape character, not the landscape. Landscape character, I mean, that is pretty general on its own, so I can't see how somebody can come out and say that windmills affect the landscape character. I mean, everything has an effect, but I mean, I just find it hard to see how someone can drive that point through and be very effective with it.
Mr. Dennett, and then Mr. Levy.
I recall in some of the ZBA meetings, that point was driven home pretty hard by some opponents of the windmills, that they are so large and they change the landscape character.
Mr. Levy.
The policy approach that we're recommending for this explains that the county will develop and adopt standards. So we're looking for you to take this idea of maintaining the character and pursue it further. You know, identify these, the elements of the rural character that you want to preserve, and then you can also identify the elements that you want to, exclude. You want to say these, and the goal even states that you want to preserve agriculture as an economic resource, and we all know that wind farms help farmers, can help farmers. So the policy approach we want you to take with this idea, with this objective, is open. We want you to just pursue it further and actually define it for the county.
Okay, I'm going to continue on so that we don't waste any time. I think, is that all right with you, Barb?
That's fine.
Okay, here we go. We were at Objective 3.2, talking about this objective, which is nothing new. It's a reiteration of what you've already got in the adopted existing LRPS. What is new about this? Nothing. Okay, Objective 3.3, suitable sites, site suitability, also a very established concept in our existing policies. Nothing new there. Objective 3.4, Champaign County will update county regulations that pertain to rural residential discretionary review developments to best provide for site-specific conditions by 2010. As you recall, back in when we were doing the zoning update back in 2004, our state's attorney pointed out to us that we need to make an adjustment to our zoning ordinance, and that's what this objective refers to. It states that when we do consider, as a county, rural residential overlay districts, they need to be considered as not only a rezoning, but as a special use, so that we are not in any kind of, would not get in any future jeopardy with regard to making site-specific conditions for those rural residential overlays. That's all that this refers to. Objective 3.5, by the year 2012, the county will review the site assessment portion of LISA for possible updates. And thereafter, once every 10 years, we'll take a look at it for possible updates. That is the subjective portion of the LISA system. As you know or may recall, it's been about 6-7 years ago, the Soil and Conservation Service updated the soil portion, the soil assessment portion of the LISA, but the LE portion was never updated, and it is rather cumbersome, and it could be improved. Been to a workshop by the state, and they pointed out how to improve that part of the LISA. So that's just an objective at this point. Objective 3.6, Champaign County will seek the means to encourage and protect productive farmland in the county. That's not a new concept, not a new objective. It's a new objective, but it's not new. All right, here we go. Affirming County Resolution 3425 pertaining to the right to farm. That's an existing resolution. It just embodied the steering committee's concerns, so it was put in here as an objective. Yes, sorry.
Right past 3.6.1, I have a question about that.
Okay.
Sorry to back you up, but... What would it take to permanently preserve farmland?
Well, an easement could be established by the landowner, a conservation easement.
Conservation easement, yes. Okay. That's one thing. Is there any other ways to achieve that?
Maybe
the county have a special ordinance that designates ag only. Is that another way of doing that?
As I recall, our suggested implementation of this policy was to come to ELUC and suggest that we develop some ideas and then consider them for adoption. Among those ideas, transfer of development rights, purchase of development rights, conservation easements, that kind of thing. I don't think we were considering any kind of special zoning district, at least as mentioned.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. To continue, Objective 3.8 and 3.9 are new ideas not previously included in the 1977 existing land use goals or objectives or policies. And it has to do with the importance of locally grown food and an objective here is Objective 3.9, that the county would appoint a panel of local producers and consumers to recommend policies that support local food production, purchase, and consumption. So those are new ideas.
I have a question on 3.9. I read that and I had to just kind of grin. The county will appoint panel of local producers and consumers to recommend policies supportive of local food production, purchase, and consumption. That's appoint a panel of consumers recommend policy supportive of consumption. why? What can Champaign County government offer to producers, I'll just pick out one, producers, in ways that can help production? What in the ordinance can Champaign County put in an ordinance that would be supportive of production?
Well, as you know, ag is exempt from our zoning ordinance.
Right.
It would have to be another means if it was anything. This was one of those issues so new that it would take a significant amount of time to even come up with answers. And that's the beauty of appointing a panel, sort of like a blue ribbon panel.
Oh, good Lord.
Perhaps, maybe.
You know, no offense here, and I'm going to go into the district. I'll try to be brief. You're going to get me into a dissertation here. But, you know, businesses, some corporations have asked for it. They've misbehaved and done things wrong. But if you apply the same standards to a lot of what government expects out of private industry or corporations, there would be a lot of politicians in prison right now pushing a toothbrush, cleaning a bathroom floor with Bernie Madoff. I don't understand, because the free market works pretty well. I mean, for years there used to be a mushroom farm up in the northern part of the county and used to move mushrooms locally. There used to be chicken farms all over the place. When I was a kid, there was two widowed women that would raise chickens and dress them and sell them and things like that. Go all the way back to when the sod busting occurred and when grain was produced and producers got together and they invented this thing called a farmer cooperative, and they pooled their resources and everything together to market their crops and things like that. There was no government intervention, and there was no government to stand there and say, we'll hold your hand. And I just, this goes totally against what, I just don't understand what a panel of local people will do that the county board will appoint that will, it's beyond me. The free market works best in these situations. And unless the county can change federal state laws, that's a thing that's cumbersome. That's a thing that's a problem. If you could appoint panels to actually make people aware of what the federal and state government are doing to you, that would be one thing. But I need some explanation on this, because I'm not trying to talk bad about it or anything. I just don't understand this, because what's worked in the past has worked fine. And that's been the free market, to where I don't understand why government has to get involved with putting free markets together. I don't understand.
Mr. Kurtz?
Doesn't 3.8 answer that, John? Champaign County acknowledges the importance of the production, purchasing, and consumption of locally grown food.
We do that.
Doesn't that just cover it?
It's pretty much all the way through Goal 3, throughout all Goal 3.
Mr. Weibel?
I generally agree with what you were saying, Mr. Schrader. I was just thinking of ways to reword 3.9. And, you know, I don't really see the county appointing its own panel. It'd more likely be best to appoint a county-wide panel with other entities. And I would just to promote local food production.
That takes resources, and as of right now,
I'm not saying that's it. I'm just saying they will engage others. I'm not saying we have to do it. I mean, it's sort of an idea. I mean, there are other counties that have such a, you know, group or whatever you want to call them, and they come out with like annual reports on the local food production, things like that. And it does take money, but it's not something that has to be done. It could be just something that's, you know, an idea out there that could be done.
I don't want to sound like I'm against local produce growers or anything. I'm one myself, but I'm asking where this came from and what would be the importance of this. I'm baffled. Put that way.
Mr. Dennett?
I'm also baffled by this, and I'm a little bit baffled by what Mr. Weibel did reports and the such for production. I've been a producer for 30 years, and reports and such tend to
harm producers more than help them.
I'm just saying, theoretically, I'm not saying, you know, I'm going to say to promote local food production is really all I care about. There's a way of doing that.
It appears to me that all 3.9 did make somebody feel good when they wrote it.
I didn't write it, so.
Ms. Anderson?
I have no idea where this, you know, how it came about. I did go to a few of those meetings, but I don't remember any discussion of this. But you do read things about how now with our energy consumption and gas prices and all of that, emphasis around the country of growing locally and buying locally, getting fresher food and, you know, more nutritious, as well as promoting, you know, work for people, and then sharing it with selling to nursing homes or, you know, whatever, you know, where you have larger, you know, buying in larger bulk than individuals and like that. So I don't know if this has any way that government has to, but, you know, it might be more of an educational thing or making people aware of and kind of promoting. You go to the farmer's market on Saturday morning, and I can remember, I know that I've lived here 50 years now, and that's ancient to some of you, but coming from Pennsylvania, where there were always lots of farmer's markets, and you bought your peaches and all kinds of things locally, I remember thinking, you can't buy an ear of corn here, except at the grocery store, and it tasted like cardboard to me, unless you raised it in your own garden. And I think over the years, we've seen that kind of, you know, expand now, but it probably could expand even further as we're kind of thinking of what it costs to ship things. So.
And it has. Now, you've had Lincoln Square Plaza now for I don't know how many years. Now you have one in Champaign.
Yeah, I go to the Country Fair one, too.
And I think Grand Tool has one. And so they have been kind of self-promulgating themselves now. It's taken a little time, but I think that's free market. They've grown and continue to grow, and I think it's fantastic. I think it's great. Maybe if we said something like the county encourages farmers markets.
Mr. Mosier?
Got people coming in here from counties around here peddling sweet corn and everything else out of pickup trucks on corners and all over town and out in the county now. I know the Extension Service has got a big program with Master Gardeners that a whole lot of people are involved in, and I know there's some people over there that are trying to get some of this stuff approved as organic so they can sell it that way, and that's got to go clear to the USDA before they can do that. I just, the way that is up there on Saturday in Urbana, it's like a celebration. I think they're doing a good job of promoting.
Mr. Langenheim.
That stuff they sell on Saturday in Urbana tastes very good. It's worth the extra price.
Mr. Levy.
One of the reasons that this is in here is looking beyond just individual consumers, looking at school districts. You know, that's not up to the county board, but there are entities that the county board is involved with, that may benefit from buying local food. You know, it's an issue that's out there. It's relatively new. This would be a really big step for the county. I would encourage that it stay in there, maybe not in this form, but the general idea of supporting these different attributes of local food might be an okay function.
Okay, and we'll move on. Consider that a possible future adjustment to that objective. If you have any suggestions you want to make further, please communicate those to us. Goal 4, now we now we are going beyond the realm of the existing land use regulatory policies, which dealt only with rural development. Here we are now creating a new goal with three objectives, 13 policies that pertain to urban development. So the first one is, essentially the goal is to encourage that this development is compact and contiguous. The county will strive to ensure the preponderance of population growth and economic development is accompanied by new urban development in and or adjacent to existing population centers. Policies under this are nothing controversial, except when we get to 4.1.9. Now, this is a new idea that the county will encourage that new discretionary development within municipal ETJs pursuant to a municipal annexation agreement, and that will remain in the unincorporated area, should first receive any discretionary development approval from the county that would otherwise be necessary without the annexation agreement. So we have heard that some of the municipalities, the planners for the municipalities of Champaign especially, and possibly Urbana, John, was it, have opposed this. And there was lots of discussion about this prior to the supermajority of the steering committee agreeing to it. John, would you like to comment at all about this particular policy?
Well, this isn't the only policy that tries to provide better policy guidance for how the county hopes municipalities will exercise annexation authority in a reasonable manner. And this policy is talking about it inside the ETJ. In fact, my view is that what this policy describes is, in fact, the current practice of the city of Urbana. And the city of Urbana, while they would not agree that this series of words actually describes what they do, I'm telling you, this is the way they've been operating ever since the Chatham decision came about. The city of Champaign has not been operating that way, and it's actually the only negative comments we got when we reviewed this at a staff level was from city of Champaign staff, because their view is that this would tie the city's hands. Now, you'll note that this policy doesn't obligate a municipality to really do anything other than let the county make a decision on something, and then they can go ahead and do whatever they wanted to in the first place anyhow. Well, the point is, this encourages them to at least wait, give, for example, best way to describe this is the most recent example, the proposed Casey's on the east side of Urbana. It was in the county jurisdiction. They could only develop with an annexation agreement, but they were not going to be annexed anytime soon, because while they needed access to sewer, it just wasn't annexable. But the city of Urbana required them to go through a rezoning process at the county ZBA before they would entertain or actually approve the annexation agreement, which in fact gave the neighbors a chance to protest to their county board. And I know at least two members of this committee that visited with that neighbor and heard her concerns. And in fact, the city of Urbana extended all kinds of considerations to neighbors' concerns. I think the city was actually representing people pretty well, but remember, those neighbors do not get to vote for the Urbana City Council. They only get to vote for their county board members. So anyhow, ultimately that project died. It did not move forward, but it's the most prominent example of where Urbana followed this exact policy. And it worked so well that I wanted to present it to ELUC either as part of the LRMP or outside of it, because if you could get municipalities to agree to this policy, I think it would be better for your constituents.
Mr. Dennitz.
That may be, and your example is a good one, I'll admit that. It's about one out of a thousand that happens like that. A building municipality on top of the size for about 20 years And you know as well as I do, municipalities are going to go do what they damn well please when they want. Municipalities are a huge reason that about 90% of this is there at this point in this county, the problem with urban sprawl, not us.
But again, on this policy, I mean, so far at least, this is what Urbana has been doing. And so...
John, and I don't want to argue or belittle at this point. Urbana has not really been the big issue about that. Mm-hmm. Forcibly annex people. It's going on in Bahama right now. There's no way for the people to stop that.
Mr. Schrader.
Quick comment. Absolutely concur. Urbana does it right when it comes to this kind of policy. They've been more than, they've been more than exemplary in this county about how to do this. I always remember and go back to North Prospect before it was developed. ZBA had the case up there in North Prospect, and Champaign allowed that to happen and went through the zoning process properly and everything. Pre-annexation agreements were done, and it was done properly. But ever since there, the developers have run loose, and Champaign said, well, in Mom. And I don't know if that'll ever change, but I think I always like to mention Libby Tyler and Urbana. They've done an excellent job with us, and they've been very respectful to the county.
Mr. Weibel.
I guess one advantage of having this in there is that somebody ever asks us, what's your policy? We say, this is what it is in writing. Whether or not they're going to follow it or not, at least this is what we say our policy is.
Okay, I'm going to keep moving, just in the interest of time. Objective 4.2, a new set of policies that reiterate several of the concerns that have been present in our 77 and in our LRPs, but just shift this all to encouraging these concerns for urban development. So nothing is required except that the county will ensure in its own development, its own urban development on best prime farmland, for instance, that this will happen, but it will encourage, when possible, other jurisdictions to do the items listed here. And objective 4.3, Champaign County will oppose proposed new urban development unless adequate utilities, infrastructure, and public services are provided. That's essentially what our practice has been. Now it's proposed as an objective. And to encourage also other jurisdictions to do the same, to essentially to require that all urban development be sufficiently served by infrastructure and public services. Goal 5, ensuring the protection of public health and public safety in land resource management decisions. 4 objectives, 7 policies, nothing real controversial except as you understood last June, it could be possibly controversial to talk about complying with the building code by 2015. That's a new, likely to engender lots of discussion. And the Champaign County Waste Management Plan is about 30 years old as well, and that falls under the purview of this goal. So at some point by 2015, to have the county considering reissuing that. Goal 6, transportation, not controversial. A lot of these are land use, existing land use goals from 77 that have just been updated. The new, not previously discussed policy is to develop, encourage development of a multi-jurisdictional countywide transportation plan. And the need for that was demonstrated to the steering committee as a good one to consider as a policy. Okay, on to goal 7, natural resources. Natural resources dealt with layers of the environment, starting with the groundwater quality, going to soil resources, then up to surface water, then aquatic and riparian ecosystems, then natural areas and habitat, then parks and preserve, and then finally the upper stratosphere of the air pollutants. So it had a logic to it, starting from submerged levels. So the first objective deals with groundwater. A lot of these policies following here talk about discretionary development, being very careful not to use up our resource of groundwater, and talking about the groundwater studies that the Mahomet Aquifer Consortium is embarking on and supporting that, and using the knowledge obtained from those efforts in the future once they become available. So a lot of this has to do with Mahomet Aquifer, good use of the Mahomet Aquifer and using knowledge to save and protect our groundwater supply. So not a lot of controversy expected in that set of policies. Objective 7.2, nothing new here, protect and conserve the soil resources. That's already an existing. Our LRPs dwell on that, talking about best prime farmland and protecting that. Nothing new there. Objective 7.3, Champaign County will work to ensure that new development and ongoing land management practices maintain and improve surface water quality, contribute to stream channel stability, minimize erosion and sedimentation, and provide appropriate conditions for native aquatic species. A lot of standard stuff here, nothing real controversial. Well, if you look at it from a guide point of view,
I think...
I'm trying not to be subjective. I didn't see any controversy in this. But, Schrader, if you want to stop and talk about that objective, we can.
Well, if I may. And this is going to get deeper into this as we go into this, about who and what agency has jurisdiction and who has authority on the policing of a lot of these broad strokes that we're painting with these policies and objectives. And I think where I said whoa was 7.3. And that's where the county will work to ensure. And this is talking about new development and ongoing land management practices. When you get down to provide appropriate conditions for native aquatic species. Now, that's what stopped me right there, because you're going to provide appropriate conditions for native aquatic species. Now, you're going to have to catalog every species out there, and I don't think that's been done yet in the county. I know the Blue Ribbon Panel that was set up 2001, 2002, somewhere in there, had an idea. I think Forest Preserve probably, there are some good people there, probably have a pretty good idea what's going on. There's some independent research has been done around here with that. But my point is you're going to have to come up with what is native aquatic species. And then you're going to have to police another layer of county planning and zoning department that we're going to have to create to go out and check for this condition. And that, I have a real problem with that. I don't have a problem with native aquatic species. I do not have a problem with them. I understand the situation. But what you're going to do is you may end up creating problems for legitimate drainage ditch commissions. it may be antithesis against those exact appointments that the county board makes. So I'm a little concerned about this, because as we go further on, like I said, there's going to be more and more demands on a planning staff that is already overworked and underpaid and is not going to get any more funding, basically.
Mr. Mosher.
We've seen this already with some of these drainage districts where somebody tried to get on one that the board chair appointed, and all of a sudden there's an election and taxpayers decide they're going to appoint their own commissioners if they make it within their jurisdiction. The commissioner is going to get elected by the taxpayers or the people that live in that district and take it out of the hands of the county board. It happened a half a dozen times that I know of 3 or 4 years ago. There's one at Sydney, and there's certainly the Upper Salt Fork, and every time Clark Bullard stuck his nose in one of these things, then we end up with a bunch of elected commissioners. And the biggest thing this county's got, if you're a farmer, is drainage. And if you don't have a way to get rid of the water, whether it's a tile outlet or some other means, you're just killing yourself. And I think federal government's going to try to do what they did the last time, that Clean Water Act, and say everything in this county that runs water is going to be water of the United States of America, and they're going to let the Corps of Engineers stick their nose in here again with all these permits to try to do anything to maintain a drainage ditch. And that's just poison out where I live, especially with the people who live north of St. Joe.
Mr. Weibel.
Well, I was looking ahead a little bit to 7.4, which reads, Champaign County will encourage the maintenance and enhancements of aquatic and riparian habitats, which really sort of covers the last sentence that Mr. Schrader was talking about. I guess, Mr. Schrader, could you comment on 7.4? What do you think of that one on its own?
Well, not only does it call for...
It just says encourages.
Yeah, I know, it encourages.
It doesn't say ensure. There's a difference.
I know. But it's a slippery slope, folks. 7.3 I want to look at the right wording before I step into it here. I think when it comes to 7.4, is the word encourage. But there's also the word enhancement of. That's where that really hangs up there. Encourage doesn't bother me too much. But enhancement of aquatic and riparian habitats. There again, that's going to set, you got standards to set. I don't know if there's any federal or state standards for that. There's going to have to be you're going to have to, catalog everything that's out there in those streams, those ditches,
I encourage maintenance and enhance. I don't see the catalog it necessarily, because it doesn't say what the ultimate goal is. Maintenance would be to maintain as is. Enhance would be to improve.
Well, the ultimate goal would, of course, be in what the county comes up for in an ordinance and enforcement.
Right. Yeah.
I guess I'm looking ahead. That's my problem.
Ms. Anderson?
Well, going back to 7.3, maybe you can explain to us what it means.
Oh, could you hold on, because we're changing a tape.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead, Jen.
Well, when I look at it, I'm not sure if this is what it means, but it talks about new development, and it sounds like to me like it's encouraging us to see the things are built so that there isn't runoff. I know the state had a program, and I don't think they have the funds to continue with it now that they had trained volunteers that did water sampling, and it wasn't for any specific species, but just to see if there was anything living in there, and they would take it to places where they looked at it under the microscope, and they could identify whether there were, I don't know, little microorganisms of some sort, which would indicate whether there's runoff that is killing things that would normally appear in water. I don't know. Is that the kind of thing that you're talking about? Or?
Well, I'd like to say, think surface water and think of ongoing things already going on in the county. As far as policing, I don't see any direction in that direction from this particular objective. I just think that if you look at the policies, you get a better idea for what this objective has to say about directions to go. Policy 731, think about the watershed plans that the Salt Fork, for instance, and incorporating those recommendations in discretionary review of new development. So certainly acknowledge and use the recommendations, if possible, for discretionary development of those existing or future watershed plans. 732, stormwater management designs and practices. We already have a stormwater management policy, and that's, in my view, in my mind, this is just promulgating the continuation of that, which deals also with sedimentation and erosion, I believe. Erosion, certainly. I can't say that sedimentation would be an offshoot of erosion. So, yes, it does indirectly deal with sedimentation, our existing county policy, stormwater management. Let's see. 733, encourage implementation of agricultural practices and land management that promotes good drainage while maximizing stormwater infiltration and aquifer recharge. That's probably all that could be considered for that is public education or sharing of information in some way.
Mr. Levy?
I think, you know, there are many different routes that this 7.3 is looking at. You can take the police action, you know, heavy regulation. I don't think that's exactly how it's written. We're talking about new development, which really puts the burden on developers and engineers to identify how much water runoff there's going to be. Look at stream bank erosion issues in the design. You know, you can put that into the ordinance, looking at different design criteria. Rather than putting it on the landowner, you're looking at your new developments and how you can abate that, and the county doesn't, you know, the only thing you're going to do is update your ordinance.
Mr. Weibel?
I agree with Mr. Levy in the point that this is, I mean, if you look at all the policies, 4 to 5 are directly deal with new development. Yet 7.3 talks about new development and ongoing land management. Really should strike out ongoing land management, because the policies are all, except for policy 7.3, which is sort of vague, all about new development. And I think that's a problem there with Mr. Schrader. I can understand that. That ongoing land management is really not, there's really no discussion of that under the policies. I think this is truly a case of Bismarck's refer to sausage making.
Any other discussion on this one? Mr. Mosier.
I don't know about every drainage ditch, but the one that goes through my place has got so much runoff from urban development Urbana that thing will come up 8 or 9 feet in an hour, even with all the retention that's supposedly up there, to slow it down. And it just tears everything up as far as tile outlets and holding the bank. And you're not going to plant trees on it and help it any, because go look at the saline. It's all over the place down there around Mayview now, where it used to never get out.
Okay. But it may open the door for some discussion with Urbana about what they're doing.
According to Tom Burns, everything's perfect up there. But when they put Stone Creek and everything east of 130 in on the west side of 130, it certainly sends a lot more water down that ditch than it used to.
Maybe you should put in fish ponds.
Well, the more that happens, and I mean, you got the same thing out there on that Finney Branch west of Champaign going into the Kaskaskia, and you've got the same thing on the Ambrawl with all that buildup on that South Farm. It's not capable of taking it. It was a rural ditch when it was dug or widened or deepened whenever they did it in the Depression, and nothing's changed much.
Well, I'd like to continue on if you have no objection. Objective 7.4, maintenance and enhancement of aquatic and riparian habitats. Most all of the policies, the first two certainly deal with discretionary review. Third, voluntary restoration of wetlands and a net increase in wetland habitat acreage. No one can argue that that's a good, I mean, no one cannot argue that that's a good kind of policy, I would imagine. And the county would be encouraging that. And 7.44, support efforts to control and eliminate invasive species. Covering all bases, essentially. Now, this, I'll point out, the steering committee did discuss that supporting healthy aquatic systems should only occur when feasible, disregarding the need for doing all of these other things, essentially channel stability, minimizing erosion and sedimentation, minimizing ditch maintenance costs. That was considered more important and a priority than supporting healthy aquatic ecosystems. Now we get to objective 7.5, and if you understand, this then is a broader category of the vegetation and what we call the pre-settlement environment, which is a defined term, which essentially means, no need for me to paraphrase it when there's a definition for it. But pre-settlement environment, you need to understand what that definition is. It refers to the predominant land cover during the early 1800s when prairie comprised approximately 92% of the land surface, forested comprised 7%, and remaining areas in open water. So primarily, that is the pre-settlement environment. It was primarily prairie and 7% forested. Riparian areas along the stream corridors containing forest soils and bottomland soils were thought to be most likely the areas that were forested during the early 1800s. So that is the focus of this objective. A lot of education programs would be encouraged to promote sound environmental stewardship practices. Important to note in this set of policies is that the steering committee, as part of policy 752, stated succinctly that with regard to by right development on good zoning lots or the expansion thereof, no new zoning regulations to preserve or maintain existing on-site areas that provide habitat for native and game species or new zoning regulations that require mitigation of impacts of disturbance to such on-site areas would be required by the county. So no new zoning regulations.
Susan, on 751, mm-hmm. about encouraging educational programs to promote sound environmental stewardship practices among private landowners. What was the committee, what was their idea of who was going to do the education of the private landowners of sound practices? I mean, who's going to be, I mean, if you want to put that in an ordinance, I mean, where would that go? Who would be in charge of educating the public? Would it be just the information you put out in a newspaper? Would it be bringing in the Forest Reserve and having meetings open to the public.
Well, we're jumping ahead to the implementation, but that is a good question. I can tell you that we've envisioned bringing, and this has not been seen yet by our steering committee, but pursuing and monitoring potential funding sources or opportunities to achieve this as part of what the county planner would do, for instance, as an ongoing thing.
Just to say funding sources, I hear taxes. So I,
well, that's,
well, I
that's
hear
the,
revenue, I hear taxes. Mm-hmm. That's, yeah. Okay.
Certainly no ordinance was envisioned as part of this.
Okay. I was just curious what the committee's thinking was of putting
they
this in here and what,
seen,
where they wanted to go yeah. with this.
They were not intending to have a lot of ordinance, new regulations to regulate by right development at all. And that's what this Part B I was pointing out on 752 states. And then 753 picks up an idea of an existing land use regulatory policy that we would use, or it goes beyond, actually. We would use for discretionary development the Illinois Natural Areas Inventory and other scientific sources on a development-by-development, discretionary development, case-by-case basis. I don't think we were talking about trying to catalog all natural conditions in the county. It would occur on a case-by-case basis. And I know this is a lot of things to flip through here, but Objective 7.6, not a new concept other than, I mean, not a controversial concept. It's simply acknowledging that rural parkland is important and that the county will work to protect existing investments in that.
I just wonder, is that going to conflict with what the Forest Preserve has for their policy, or are we just doubling up what, because I know Forest Preserve has pretty similar policy like that. I mean, it doesn't say that, I mean, exactly, but I know they have policy that's like that. And go back to 7.5.6 also. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not sure if we're overlapping what we're doing here with a Forest Preserve District, because a Forest Preserve District would definitely be right in line with these two policies and objectives. So I'm curious with that, where if the county is just saying, yeah, we support what the Forest Preserve does, or if the county's saying, yeah, the Forest Preserve's got their thing, but we want to say this thing.
I believe the steering committee had in mind to work in concert with the Forest Preserve and have a policy that would support essentially Forest Preserve efforts and like efforts in this regard.
SCS is doing that too. I mean, they put that wetland in at St. Joe, and they've got that prairie on that Barnhart farm south mm-hmm. of Urbana.
Yeah, just south of here.
And there's another one down by Pasodum. I mean,
one of the things that the steering committee heard quite frequently in this process is that organizations like Soil and Water Conservation and Forest Preserve are in a much better position to look at some grant and funding opportunities because other agencies like the county have something on record that supports that concept. And more and more, you know, when I see this in economic development issues, and I see this in a lot of different issues, that they really, you know, want to see related agencies cooperating by supporting similar goals. And I think this can only support Soil and Water and anybody else who's interested in protecting or developing rural parkland or any kind of issue for that matter by having something in black and white that this is what the county's going on record with. Ms. Anderson.
And I think that would apply going back to the educational aspect
yeah.
too, that there are grants out there from environmental groups that they could get.
Right.
And this might be enforced.
Yeah. And even school districts, I think, would find themselves more eligible for some additional money sources by being able to say in their grant application, well, the county has this statement that supports this, what we're trying to do. So to me, it's almost a no-brainer.
Here before you on the screen are the additional two objectives from under Goal 7, Objective 7.7, dealing with the atmosphere, and indicating a policy that the county would require compliance with all applicable Illinois EPA and Illinois Pollution Control Board standards for air quality when relevant in discretionary review development. And 7.72, identifying existing sources of air pollutants and avoid locating sensitive land uses where occupants would be affected by such discharges. That's essentially a site suitability concern that would come up during discretionary review at the zoning board. Objective 7.8 calls for the county by 2012 creating something similar to LISA, a system that would make it easy for zoning board members and county board members to understand any new standards related to natural resources assessment, ranking system of some sort, some way to help actually implement those new standards. So that's what that is calling for. I sort of skimmed through those just in the interest of time. Would you like to continue? Okay. Goal 8.
Unless someone has some lingering questions.
I wanted to point out that the content of Goal 8 is a new focus not previously seen in the 1977 county land use goals and policies, energy conservation. The 77 goals and policies talked a lot about efficiency, but this expands on that concept and includes energy conservation and the use of renewable energy sources. So promoting land use patterns, site design standards, and land management practices that minimize discharge of greenhouse gases could be viewed as minimizing the need for excess transportation with having scattered development everywhere, where if you think about it in that context, compact and continuous development, that's consistent with that. Promoting energy-efficient building design standards and striving to minimize the discharge of greenhouse gases in its own facilities and operations, not telling or having any kind of regulations that don't, the county doesn't try to follow itself, essentially. Objective 8.2, encouraging energy-efficient building design standards. And as you heard from John's update, the Illinois Energy Efficient Commercial Building Act, 2011, will require commercial buildings to... Maybe this is a separate thing than John brought up today, but this legislation is in place and requires that new commercial buildings follow a set of standards. And here are the remaining objectives under this goal. Encouraging land use and transportation planning, that is carried forward from the 77 goals and policies. Objective 8.4, specifically calling out encouraging recycling, since the county does it anyways, and it seems to be fit under this public health and safety goal. Objective 8.5, finally, encouraging the development and use of renewable energy sources where appropriate and compatible with existing uses.
On the getting back to 8 point, because, you know, we were kind of zipping through here.
Sure.
Getting back to 8.1.2, in the federal legislation that the House adopted, tax or cap and trade policy, I believe you'll find a section in there that's right out of the California code that will probably supersede anything we do here. It will supersede anything the state does. It probably a lot of section goals 8 all through there will probably be superseded by federal government. If we probably read more of the fine print of the 1,200 some odd pages from the House version of the cap and trade bill, as it's referred to, I think we'll find a lot of this stuff is probably going to be thrown out, and the feds are going to come in. That'll be part of the green jobs that the president has promised we'll have to employ federal employees to go out and enforce and encourage and mandate, you know, all sorts of other things for this. So it's interesting policy to me to be included in this goal 8, and I'm not exactly sure what to do with it, so that's my comment.
Mr. Kurtz?
I'm sorry. I'm looking at 8.5 goal. Champaign County will encourage the development and use of renewable energy sources where appropriate and compatible. Won't that bang heads with 3.10? If we're bringing in...
With what?
3.10. Wouldn't that bang head directly with that?
Are you talking about the landscape character?
Right.
Okay.
10.9. Because if we're talking about renewable energy, we know what we've been working on for months now, and that...
This is a broadly stated objective, and not to interrupt if you were going to respond immediately, but I think it doesn't conflict directly with that. I believe it's compatible. I mean, it can coexist as an objective. It doesn't take into consideration landscape character. It talks about existing uses, which is not exactly the same thing as landscape character. Let someone else respond if they have an answer. In my view, this is not a problem that we have objective 8.5 and we have objective 3.10.1. Where appropriate and compatible with existing uses.
Existing, in other words, we're not talking about any renewable energy in the future. We're just talking about existing renewable energy now. Is that what we're saying?
Well, I thought your concern was that this objective 8.5 conflicted with the objective 3.10.1.
It does, but both have our questions. Existing uses, meaning we'll encourage development use of renewable energy so we're appropriate and compatible with existing uses. So in other words, we're not discussing future uses?
Well, anytime we have a discretionary review, we consider compatibility with existing uses. That's a part of discretionary review. So we always take into consideration any conflict with existing adjacent uses.
I think there's confusion here with the existing use of the land, not existing use of renewable energy. So think of it with the existing uses of the land. Or land use. With existing land use is really what the sentence is saying. Is that correct?
That's what I'm interpreting it to be. Right.
Interpretation doesn't say that.
Well, we can change it to land uses then.
Okay, that's a good point of confusion to clear up if possible. All right, final goal, cultural amenities. This concern was carried forward from the 1977 county land use goals and policies, but made more specific and limited to encouraging the development and maintenance of cultural, educational, recreational, and other amenities that contribute to the quality of life of its citizens, and specifically to work to identify historic structures, places, and landscapes in the county. Not considered a highly controversial policy or objective. I've breezed through these, and it's a lot to absorb in one meeting, but it does provide an overview of the proposed land use the LRMP goals, objectives, and policies.
Mr. Schrader?
If I may make, I'll try to be brief about this. I want to say something. I'll make an overall statement of what I think of right now, the land resource management plan. First of all, I want to commend you, Chairwoman Wysocki, for all the work and the time and the dedication that you stuck with it. You chaired every committee meeting. You were there for every, from the get-go. You set this up, and I want to commend you for an excellent job that you've done. And the time that I'm sure Dwayne probably wondered if there was someone around that every now and then a few things got adjusted around the house, but he wasn't sure if somebody was around with everything else you've got going.
He worried about getting breakfast on Thursday morning.
So I just want to say thank you for your hard work and your dedication to this. Now, just a quick overview to this, and I don't want to critique it too much, and I hope I don't come across that way, but and I should probably mention the Citizens Committee too. They put a lot of hard work and dedication to this also. And the times, and I didn't go to every meeting. I went to a few meetings. Luckily, apparently, I got caught at one of them on camera, so there was proof that I was at least one meeting. But I found the conversations and the points and the objections and everything that went on with those to be interesting, to get a view of what the everyone out in the public was thinking and what they thought of, basically what they thought of zoning and what they thought of the county and where it should go. It's somewhat encouraging. But what I want to get to is I'm afraid that a lot of this policy, and that's typical of this sort of thing, is meant to be more regulatory than encouraging in one particular area. This policy really encourages the environmental side of thing, and I don't have a problem with it. That's fine. But it does another thing, too, which I don't think probably outside of what's been going on, probably just in this county, I have a problem with, but what's going on the outside of this county, I can see where it's coming from. And that is, there's really not much encouragement here of anything to do with flat-out productivity, with the exception of agriculture. It's generous to agriculture and the producers of that nature. But when it comes to natural resources, now I'm not talking about natural resources, the forest preserve or anything of that nature. I'm talking about if there's a possibility with the amount of oil shale that's under the state, even in this county, where the new technique of vertical drilling to horizontal drilling and acquiring massive amounts of natural gas, I'm not sure in this county it could survive what's laid out in this kind of policy and goals that's laid out here. And that would be something that would be very minimal to the environment. But it's not encouraged in here, and it's not promoted really. There's a small section about natural minerals extraction. Just like we have a sand pit, and we have gravel pits here in the county, and there's really nothing in here. Well, there is some policy in here that could be detrimental to that type of mining. So I think what I'm trying to say, it's tilted to one side, and I think it could be more balanced. And with that, I'm going to quit.
Mr. Weibel?
I would concur with Mr. Schrader's comments about the sand and gravel operations. I think, though, however, with oil and gas production and exploration, those rules are, I think, state rules, and the local rules generally have no jurisdiction, but I'll check into that. Stanley, apparently there's some interest in drilling of a well up in northwestern Champaign County. I wouldn't invest in it, though.
I'll just point out that we had sand and mining or sand and gravel mining policy and an objective, or we had policies and an objective that were removed, recommended for removal by the steering committee that don't appear in here now.
I'd also like to add that we had an economic development section, and that was also removed.
Well, I think we have identified some issues in here that we're going to need to work on a little bit. And I think in the interest of helping the staff do some preparation in advance of the study session in September, I think it might be good maybe just to do a straw poll among the membership about whether they can support what's in the document or whether they would like to see some modification or change in it, just so we don't lose the time and the momentum to move these along. So if we could go back just quickly to 2.1.3. The county will encourage municipal adoption of plan and ordinance elements which reflect mutually consistent approaches to the protection of best prime farmland and other natural, historic, or cultural resources. Just by a show of hands, who can support that item in this document as it is currently written? Who cannot?
If I believe Champagne was a
Yeah. Okay, then there's four. Well, but it maybe gives us some basis to dock. I mean, if it's not there, they assume we're not interested or don't want to go down that road. But I think a statement in here, even though it may be a challenge, is better than nothing. So now I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. Those who can't and those who don't know. It's okay if you don't know. Five can support it. Okay, let's look at 3.9. This is the panel of producers and consumers on local food production. Okay, Mr. Weibel?
Well, I would suggest that you take out 3.9, but modify 3.8 to somehow encourage, maybe, instead of acknowledge.
Somehow encourage production. I don't see a panel.
Acknowledges and imports for production. So somebody acknowledges and encourages.
Encourages the production, purchase, and consumption of locally grown food. How's that? Does that just add a word, encourage? The importance. Okay. Champagne acknowledges the importance and encourages, take of the out, encourages production, purchase, and consumption of locally grown food. Can we agree on that?
3.9, if you take 3.9 out.
Out, 3.9 out, yeah, put encourage in for 3.8.
Is that unanimous? Can we all live with that? Okay. Right, yeah. Okay, that's about as unanimous as it gets. And we've dealt with 3.1.0, which was the other one. And I think maybe we ought to do the same with 7.3. Champaign County will work to ensure that new development and ongoing land management practices maintain and improve surface water quality, contribute to stream channel stability, minimize erosion and sedimentation, and provide appropriate conditions for native aquatic species.
Stop it at the end of sedimentation. Huh? Pull out that last line.
I need
Stop at
where? Put a period
stop
after
sedimentation. Minimum erosion and sedimentation, period. That's it. At that point. Unless you see something, John, in there that you...
Well, that was a comment someone made, but I looked and I saw that. It talks here about practices.
Not ongoing, not managing practices,
I'm sorry. Mr. Hall?
Hi, John. Do you have
something? We'll work on the grammar later.
Yeah. Mr. Langenhahn.
Specific, but somewhere in this section 7, there should be some recognition that the county has a potential for industrial minerals, sand, gravel, limestone.
Well, it's certainly your prerogative to put it back in. Well, instead of wordsmithing at 20 after 9...
Yeah, while we're at it, there's a potential for coal production along the eastern border of the county.
Staff, can you work with what you're hearing? Okay. Mr. Kurtz?
John, honestly, if you have... express your opinion on that last policy. I'd like to hear it. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, well, coal's on you, Greg.
Susan, is that all we need?
I'll look at 3.10, please.
What about the one before? Is there something you want to ask about that, or do we already know the answer to that?
I got off the hook.
Okay. I mean, it just seems like a question to ask. Maybe if it's
necessary,
maybe you know what
the answer is. He's
never going to pass his county board and his zoning ordinance.
So you want to leave it this way and let it go to the county board? Let them do the...
It's never going to get to the county board without a protest.
It could stand on the line.
I got shot down for trying to make a motion on it the last time we brought it up, and he seconded it. We couldn't begin to get anybody to vote for it.
But when it comes to ample...
There'll be a protest.
What do you suggest on this?
It could stay there, but it's never going to be enacted in an ordinance.
I said two, that a minimum might be considered. I don't know.
Any others?
3.10, please.
So do we want to do anything with this other than, I mean, Steve made a suggestion to change 1 to 2.
Well, I think you ought to take it back to the steering committee and see if there's any give in it.
Oh, no.
We're going to open up that can of worms.
We're done with that.
however you take it back to whoever's put it in.
But the thing is, the process has moved into this body and the county board. You know, backing it up is just going to open up a process that we'll never be able to resolve. I mean, and they fully understand that, you know, whatever it is that they have voted in and put in this document is certainly subject to change, modification, addition, subtraction by this political body. So they're
I'm not going to vote for it because it's a pipe dream.
All right. But if there are changes to be made, they're made at this level, not at the steering committee level.
Pardon? Can you take these to the caucus meetings?
3.1.0. Staff has heard the discussion. If they want to recommend something in September, fine.
Sit down with John and see if we can add some words to this, and we'll see if we can. Or it will give the opposition to wind farms argument that they'll scream from the rooftops.
Well, let me ask among this group, can anyone support that line as it is currently written? Ms. Anderson.
Yeah, I think I can. I mean, this is a guide for us, and if they scream at us, we can
let Ms. Anderson speak, okay?
So if we have this as our policy and someone comes and contests it, we can indicate, can't we, that why we don't think that it interferes?
Well, then
take out natural landscape. I don't see how that interferes with a wind farm.
Well, let's think about this one.
The conflict previously mentioned was to with wind turbines. And wind turbines, well, we could consider it some more and try to adjust it.
Okay. Is that it, Susan?
I think those were the most controversial. Did you want to do anything with the no discretionary development that's residential on best prime farmland, or do you want to leave that the way it was?
Point 1.6.
Yes. Nobody really discussed this evening as a controversial item, and
I know what will happen if something like that Honda thing comes in here again. Industrial development on Ag 1 land, it's going to get rezoned no matter what, because the pressure is going to be unbearable to not do it from the state and the cities and the university and everybody else.
That would be allowed under this policy. It would only not allow residential discretionary on best prime farmland. But it would consider allowing other types of development. Oh, just wanted to bring that up as a possible controversy.
It's a controversy.
Okay.
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 That's plenty.
Thank you.
If I may, if we could...
Yes.
Since we added mineral deposits and such, I think we should add in economic encouragement of economic activity, too, that was taken out.
Did you say generally economic development? So bring back one of those, that's like a major change to bring back an entire goal. Is that what you're saying? Okay, well, we can bring those back for your consideration.
Okay, thank you. Let's move on. Hiring professional consultants. Mr. Hall?
Yeah, I don't have any new written material for this tonight. I've been busy with other things the past couple of weeks. I've heard some things which suggest that the application for a wind farm in Champaign County will not happen until November. So I would hope to bring this back next month with some new information. To me, it's still important, and as long as you're willing to entertain it, I'll keep bringing it back.
You got anything in your budget to pay them with?
No, we would expect to pay them with the application, $20,000 application.
I think the county administrator will tell you that a $20,000 application for a wind farm is going right in the general corporate fund. I don't know where we're going to get the money.
Does the committee want to see anything else on this?
Mr. Langenheim.
Those wind farms are an industrialization of our agricultural land. They will permanently alter conditions of life in this county, and it's imperative that we be well advised so that we can properly consider the problems when they arise. So that $20,000 should be made available for this. We may have to give up something else, but I think that has a very high priority.
Mr. Weibel?
I would concur. This is a one-time possibility. We could lay off people left and right, you know, to save money. We can also hire them back next year, whenever the economy gets better. In this case, it's a one-time deal. We have one chance.
Ms. Anderson?
And from the figures you were throwing out, I didn't see the $20,000 vanishing for this one-time project. I think you were indicating maybe $3,000 or $4,000, and we ask you to kind of see if that was still the ballpark we were talking about. And if so, I would think that would be money well spent and might save us spending a heck of a lot more money later down the road if we run into difficulties.
Mr. Kurtz.
I just have a hard time believing $3,000 for three studies of this size and magnitude is a reasonable amount of money that someone would... I just really need to get some numbers, John, if we can, for the next meeting. Okay?
Okay.
John, which one of them do you think is going to apply? Wind farm.
Well, Invenergy. That's the only one that...
Royal or Broadlands? Horizon's not...
Horizon, I haven't heard anything from Horizon.
Well, it's just the one at Royal.
Anything else? Next item is the monthly reports.
Yeah, I handed out a packet. These are all the outstanding monthly reports. And just to give you an update on how we've been doing, it looks like we're in line to have our second lowest number of zoning use permits for a year since, well, actually, no, it's going to be the lowest year in terms of zoning use permits. At the end of June, we had done 105 zoning use permits. So for the rest of the year, based on what we generally get, I would expect a total of 177, more or less. And that would be the lowest we've ever had. Previous to that, the lowest was in 1982, fiscal year 82. We had 209 permits. 83 was also a low year with 217. I think many of you understand that we actually do permitting on a much smaller area these days, and we no longer do subdivisions outside of municipalities. So what pulled us back in those years is not going to be pulling that back in the future. So permitting, we've reached the lowest point ever. In zoning cases, we haven't reached the lowest. 89 was actually the lowest year with zoning cases. There were only 11 cases docketed by June 30, 1989. We're ahead of that already for this year, so I don't recall what was going on in 89. I know in 1990 was when the department was first established, so in that respect, in terms of zoning cases, it was worse in 89, and yet the county was moving ahead in 1990 with establishing the department. So things do eventually start looking up, but I know for budget purposes for next year, I'm assuming that our permitting and zoning cases and everything will be just like this year. Now, they may improve slightly, but I've got no reason to plan for that. So this brings you up to date on monthly reports, and I guess it reinforces what you thought. We have greatly reduced numbers of permits and zoning cases. At the same time, though, we're doing more inspections than we've done for 7 or 8 years. We're exceeding our what we had hoped to do in the budget, so that's good. We're having better luck on enforcement. So some things are up, some things are down.
Can we place the monthly reports on file? Motion by Mr. Kurtz, seconded by Mr. Schrader. All those in favor say aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Any other business? The only item that we have that's going to the board is the hazard mitigation plan. Do you want that on consent or on regular? Consent? Okay. Thank you. We are adjourned. Oh, thank you.
It's virtually impossible to do the work that they've done. But you can see if we